Hey guys, thanks for joining me today. I'm Katie Pepe, owner of Diamond Canine Dog Training in Biddeford, Maine. We specialize in e-collar training, as you probably know, for off-leash obedience and reliability and behavior modification. So helping people change and stop all those unwanted behaviors. That ranges from simple stuff like jumping and barking, getting into the trash to more challenging things like reactivity, aggression, separation anxiety, and all that fun stuff. We also do puppy trainings. That's who we are and what we do. And this podcast is just our way of sharing everything with you guys. So, for our newest edition of Consultation Files, I recently did a consultation with a nice lady who is actually going to be training a puppy with us, but she shared a lot about her previous experience that just it's a story that I feel like I just hear slightly different versions of it over and over and over again. And it just makes you shake your head. It's like, God, you wish there was more you could do to change this reality and the fact that so many people experience this, but I think it's news to folks. Like, I don't think it's common knowledge. People don't realize how common it is for people to have this experience. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And this, ties into if you've been listening to my stuff, I often, I say people should get their dog wherever they want to get their dog, but all the rage today is quote unquote rescuing dogs and getting your dog from the shelter. And you know what? Great. I have no problem with that at all. So I don't want folks to think I'm saying that it's bad to do that or you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying that at all. But I think it's way, way overrated. I think more than that, there's a lot of judgment out there on folks that don't do that. I think there's this idea that it's needed, it's necessary, it's like your responsibility. Like, people should feel obligated to do that. And to be frank, like, there's no real evidence to indicate that you're helping anything by doing that. So obviously, if you go to a shelter and there's a dog there that you fall in love with, there's a dog there that you feel like needs your help and you can give it a great home, like, that's great. I'm not trying to devalue that. I'm just saying the larger problem overall that people complain about as far as like overpopulation and having too many dogs versus homes available, I don't see any evidence to indicate that going to a shelter to get your dog actually improves that situation at all. I mean, we have made this, like I said, all the rage. It's like the super trendy thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Everyone's pressuring everyone else to do it. And our situation isn't really any different than it was. So keep that in mind. And there's no real numbers out there to support it one way or the other, to support it or to indicate that it's not helping. I don't personally, from my perspective, I don't feel like our situation has really improved. I don't feel like it's any different. So, either way, getting down to the nitty-gritty here, it's like the word rescue is a loaded word, and it implies that you are saving an entity from an imminently dangerous situation, which most of the time just isn't the case. A lot of these shelters, first of all, are no-kill shelters now, so there is no imminent danger to the dog. Second of all, most of these dogs weren't rescued from deadly situations where they were on the brink of death or at risk of imminent death or injury. They're just dogs that were given up. And so I think the word rescue is a bit much, but that's intentional, right? That word is intentional because number one, it creates a sense of urgency. And number two, it gives you a medal of honor, right? So you become this savior, this altruistic, savior who's just morally and ethically superior to everybody else. And I'm not saying if you went and you adopted your dog from a shelter that you necessarily feel that way. Like, I'm not saying that at all, right? But this is a trap that some folks do fall into. And this certainly is the underlying theme of a lot of these organizations, that is their goal, is to create that mindset, is to use that tactic to put pressure on people, to entice people, to motivate people. Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And here's the thing. If we're going to use the word rescue, which I don't think we should, I think we should just call everything what it is. And really what it is you're just buying your dog from the shelter. And again, it's fine. And if you feel like that's the right thing to do for you and you feel better about that, fine. That's great. And there's tons of great dogs in the shelter too. And there's tons of not so great dogs in the shelter, which we're going to talk about. So I believe everyone should be able to get their dog wherever they want. And I don't think that there should be a sense of urgency or a sense of pressure or judgment for adopting your dog, purchasing your dog from wherever you want to. But the other thing that I see with a lot of these quote unquote rescues, even our local ones here in Maine are bigger rescues. Okay, so use Google. You probably know who they are off the top of your head. What I see is they lie. Well, I have a real problem with that. So the woman I was just talking to, her last dog. So she's trying really hard to get ahead of the game and plan and do things right, which I love. Because her last dog was such a reactive mess and she doesn't want to go through that again. And I don't blame her. But here's the thing. None of this was disclosed to her when she got the dog. This isn't the first story like that I've heard. So they go out of their way to downplay or conceal the dog's issues. Sometimes they subdue the dog. They control the environment in such a way that it reduces and eliminates triggers, so you don't see the full dog. And then they send you home with the dog and it's your problem. And to boot, they tell you that you can't do this or that to fix the problem, right? So they set the rules for your dog. So is it really your dog, right? You paid them money for a dog. And now they're telling you what you're allowed to do to deal with the problems. The problems that they went out of their way to cover up. And these places usually offer classes and quote-unquote training. I say quote-unquote because it's not training. It's bullshit. And these folks with these dogs are often told, oh, you can't come to our classes because your dog is not cut out for it. Your dog isn't suited for it. Your dog is too dangerous. It's creating too much anxiety in your dog. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now you've charged me money for a dog that you basically guilted me into getting because it needed to be quote unquote rescued. I'm not allowed to take advantage of your services, frankly, because they don't know how to fix your problem or don't care. So I can't come to your classes. And also you're going to tell me that I can't deal with the problem in the way that I think would fix it. In other words, if that's using a trainer that actually uses tools that communicate physically with the dog, if I actually use a trainer that uses both positive and negative consequences and everything in between, I'm not allowed to do that because you tell me that will make it worse. But yet you are refusing to help me fix the problem. Well, isn't that just grand? Isn't that just lovely? And so I hear this story over and over and over again, you guys, and it just burns my ass because it's so unfair. And the rescue, quote unquote rescue, right? If you could see me or the air quotes going, they get to walk away scot-free and keep their reputation as canine saviors that are changing the world and, you know, keeping the population down and rescuing all these pups that are in danger. You know, and they get this reputation as being so wonderful because they're quote unquote no kill, right? Oh, which is also baloney in its own way. Because things don't pan out for these dogs, you guys. These dogs are not okay. Some of them, you know, it's just that they lack structure and they lack training. Some of them are neurologically really messed up. Some of them aren't cut out for family homes. Like, there's a lot of different issues, right, depending on the dog. But at the end of the day, things just don't pan out well for those dogs. And they get returned and they spend their life there in a cell. Or they just get rehomed until eventually, like, something happens. Because, I mean, what else is going to happen? So I just hear this over and over again. So that, you know, that was her story. Is she says specifically that the reactivity was not disclosed to them. A lot of the dog specific issues were not disclosed to her. And of course, they discovered this on their own once the dog was back home. And then they went down this long journey to try to help the dog and all this different training and ultimately couldn't do it and had to put the dog down. So remind me again why I'm paying you for that. Right? I mean, so needless to say, she's getting a puppy. She's not going back to them, right? She's found a good breeder and she's getting a puppy, and good for her. Like, she doesn't want to go down that road again, and I don't blame her. But I had another client who got his dog from one of the local shelters, and they did not disclose her issues to him either. And her issues were serious. So they actually went to the trouble of sedating her for their meet and greets. Okay, the dog was heavily drugged. And this dog is a bull terrier mix. I don't know exactly what, but she's like a bull terrier, pit bull, maybe American bulldog, like that sort of build. And boxer, maybe some boxer in there. She was heavily sedated, and the meet and greets were handled in such a way that she was able to sort of gradually develop a familiarity with them and was pretty good with them. But right after they got her home, they didn't know she was sedated. And then they get home, and over the course of a few days, what they start to see is a very aggressive dog. And by that time, she was pretty well integrated with them, and that wasn't so much an issue, but she was trying to attack everybody. Anybody that entered her line of sight, she would try to attack. They couldn't take her on walks. She would try to go after the neighbors if she saw the neighbors. She would try to go after their pets if she saw their pets. People couldn't come into the house. She would lose her mind. And the reason he called me is because his teenage daughter was going to be coming home from out of state. And he was very, very worried about that. And I remember, this was years ago, but I still remember our phone conversation because he said to me, he says, well, I've talked to a few trainers at this point and they tell me that this just can't be fixed. Like, this is just who she is, and we're not going to be able to fix it. It's going to be, you know, management at best. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true. I said, there's a lot of things you haven't tried, and we've had great success changing these kinds of behaviors. I said, ultimately, the end result, you know, it varies from dog to dog, because every dog is different, and every dog's nervous system is different, and they're neurologically wired a little bit different. But there's a lot you haven't tried, and we have no reason to think that these aren't behaviors we can change. And he made a remark, something along the lines of, oh, I've been talking to tier one tech support. And it's like, yeah. Yeah. But to get your dog somewhere where you don't, like, they have an agenda. And the agenda is to look good and adopt out as many dogs as they can, especially the tough ones, right? Because those are the hardest ones. And so they're going to put a lot of effort into getting those dogs into homes. And they do that by lying, hiding things, covering things up. They also do that by setting all kinds of rules, right? You can't have kids. You can't have neighbors. You can't have a boyfriend. You can't, all this stuff. And it's like, why not just fix the fucking problem? I feel compelled to say, fix the dog or put it down. I feel like it is wildly irresponsible to take dangerous dogs and adopt them out to unsuspecting people. But even if you didn't do that, even if the people were aware of the dog's issues, there are so many dogs out there, you guys, that haven't done the stuff, that aren't dangerous, that have never bitten anybody. And they get put down because there's not room for them. Even if it's not happening in your state or your town, it's happening all over the country. Right? Because we want to save this dog that's an absolute nightmare. Now, in this specific case, I actually helped him. We did some private lessons. And honest to God, she's one of the starkest transformations I've ever had. And it brings tears to my eyes to this day. She still comes into board occasionally when they go on vacation, and she has just turned into an absolute delight. I mean, it's night and day, which I never expect when we do this. I always have very realistic expectations. And, you know, I usually say, if you can teach your dog to just kind of listen to you and also to mind their business, like, then we're going to call that a win, right? Because that's a dog that's a lot less dangerous. It's a dog you have control over. And a dog that can learn to just tolerate what used to be triggers in their environment in a normal day-to-day situations. And if you can do that, then then you've got a pretty good thing going, right? Instead of having just like basically an uncontrolled weapon all the time that could go off at any moment. Huge, huge win. But in this dog's case, I mean, she just exceeded all of our expectations. So he can have people in now. She makes friends with them. And to be clear, like, I never recommend that. Like, if you, once you've seen this, these types of dogs and their behaviors, like, you can't unsee it. And boy, it's expensive if your dog puts holes in somebody. So I don't recommend, you know, I never recommend this for anybody, but especially if you have a dog with a history of reactivity or aggression, I never recommend, even if your dog's doing so much better, I never, ever recommend, like, just letting strangers come in and say hi to your dog, like, touch your dog, interact with your dog. They don't need to. To me, it just seems like a silly risk to take. Even if your dog is doing well, it's like, there's no real benefit to it. Why do it? But neither here nor there. Everyone, you know, I always say everyone has to live with their dog the way they want to and make their own choices. Like, it's not my dog, it's their dog. It's not my wallet or bank account, it's theirs. So if they feel comfortable doing it, that's their prerogative 100%. But I have to say, she's just been amazing. People come in, they make friends with her. She lays down and accepts belly rubs from them. She's made friends with the cats. She can go for walks. She can go out in public. She can go anywhere. She's great. Really, really just night and day, which is amazing. Amazing. But if they hadn't found me, I mean, that's not to say they wouldn't have eventually found someone, right? But the trainers that will tell you the truth and that can do this sort of thing are really pretty few and far between. if you look at trainers in general, most of them are purely positive. If you look at the trainers that work at the rescues, certainly they're purely positive. And they're not even being honest about what the dog's problems were in the first place. The goal is just to adopt them out and hope for the best. Right? And people could get hurt. I watched a video of this dog that we're talking about right now escaping out the back door or the garage door when a delivery guy had just dropped off a package and he barely made it back into his truck, you guys. Barely. That would have been holes. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. She was a serious customer. And so I just hear these stories over and over and over again. And one of the more recent ones was Frankie, who was just here for board and train not that long ago. She was extremely, extremely reactive. And I don't think she came from a rescue organization. I can't remember, to be honest. But she had been reactive for, you know, 2 or 3 years and was just absolutely losing her mind, barking constantly, chasing bikes and dogs and people and just going crazy, driving her owners crazy and causing damage and jumping up in the windows and scratching the windows. And of course, they had also tried all kinds of trainers and, you know, quote unquote, different protocols. So of course, they're all pretty much the same protocol, right? Which is like stuffed treats in the dog's face. And you know, we do that. We use food, but you can only accomplish so much with it. And people think it's the end all be all and they're married to it. And they think it's the only thing you can use and it's the only thing you should use. And that's just stupid. So naturally the trainers that they were using had this philosophy. And although they might've taught Frankie how to do some things, they failed miserably at stopping the reactivity, which is no surprise. There's no mystery there at all. Again, we hear that all the time. But so the owners, the reason they ended up finding me is they got very frustrated with this because they're putting in all this time and they're putting in this effort and they're following the protocols and they're following the instructions and they're paying the money, right? They're paying the money every time the trainer comes back for another lesson. But then ultimately the problem isn't getting fixed. And he looks at the trainer, the guy does, and he says, well, what about the windows? Like, because she's still doing that. She's still getting up in our windows and scratching and barking and trying to chase the people, the bikes, cars, or, you know, whatever. And the trainer looks at him and says, oh, that? Just close the curtains. Just close the curtains. Okay. So let me just say, during the training process, there absolutely will be some management. Okay? We use the crate a lot for situations like that. But we don't use the crate to solve the problem. We use it to help us manage the problem until we have it fixed. So in other words, when you leave the house, like your dog should be in a crate, right? Especially if you have a dog that does that and gets into the window and likes to watch for things and bark and scratch and try to jump through the window. When you're not home and you can't see it and you can't address it, you need to put your dog in the crate. Sure. That is not the same as saying, oh, the permanent solution to your problem is to just close your curtains. Okay, how fucking stupid is that? Because first of all, your dog can still hear and maybe even see things outside. The dog hears the bikes, the cars, the dogs, the kids, still runs to the window. Still digs the crap out of the window, still barks their foolish head off. It doesn't work. And even if it did work, what if I want my fucking curtains open? You're telling me I can't have open curtains now? You're telling me I can't let sun into the house because my dog is reactive? That is not a solution. And you know what? It pisses me off that these are the solutions people are being given. And let me be real clear. Like, if it's not someone's skill set to fix this problem, that's fine. There's lots of things I don't have the skill set to fix. So many. How much time do you have? But I don't just tell people they have to deal with it. Okay? There's lots of things I don't know how to fix. Hell, I don't know how to fix a broken leg. But I'm not going to tell you to just not walk on it. That's not going to be my solution. I'm going to tell you to go see someone that knows how to fix it. Seriously. Just draw the curtains. So I hear these stories over and over and over again. And it's just nuts. So all this to say, just make sure that you know what you're getting. Don't be a victim of a quote-unquote professional that has an agenda, that has, you know, that has an agenda, that has a dogma that they're married to. Ask questions. Use your brain. The answers should make sense, right? If you go to a shelter to get the dog, meet the dog more than once. Ask questions about the dog's history. And if it's, oh, you know, does better with older kids, or doesn't do well with young kids, or doesn't do well with other animals, ask about that. And be honest with yourself about whether or not that's something you want. There's nothing wrong with deciding, I don't want that burden. I don't want that responsibility. It is not your fault that that dog is there. In fact, you know whose fault it is? It's the rescue's fault. 110%. It's not your fault, and it's not your obligation to fix it. It's not. Good on you if you decide to. But just as good on you if you decide you don't want to. It's not your fault. You're not obligated to fix somebody else's problems because of somebody else's lies. It is their fault that dog is there because they tell people it can't be fixed, or it doesn't exist, or you can't use an e-collar, it'll make the dog more aggressive. You can't punish this or that because it'll make things worse. You have to use treats and bones and positive reinforcement and patience and love and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and also you can't come to our classes because your dog can't do it. That's why it's their fault. Because if it wasn't for those lies, if it wasn't for those narratives, if it wasn't for those stupid, flawed philosophies, those dogs might have stood a chance in the home they were in the first place. Right? So the truth about behavior and training keeps dogs in their home. So most, quote unquote, rescues are dogs that were just given to the shelter. Right? They were relinquished. Because people didn't know how to fix the problems they were dealing with. Most people really love their dogs. They don't want to part with them. They don't want to get rid of them, but they don't know what else to do because they can't live with the behaviors the dog is exhibiting. And why don't they know that? Because it's hidden. That information is buried. It's demonized. People that are honest about it are demonized. Because they would rather perpetuate the lies and look like saints. That's why that dog is there. And it's not your job to have to fix that problem. But somehow they've twisted it all around to make us all feel obligated to do that. So ask questions. Right? If you're going to get a dog that's not a puppy, especially, that you don't know their history, you don't know where they came from, you don't know anything about them, take the time to get to know the dog, ask lots of questions, and make sure you actually own the dog afterwards. Like, if you're not allowed to make decisions about how you raise the dog, how you train the dog, no thank you. No thank you. And frankly, I think all these problems that everyone's so worried about and concerned about as far as overpopulation and overflowing shelters, that problem would resolve itself if everybody knew the truth about behavior and training. That's what I think. You're never going to completely stop unwanted litters, guys. Like, it's not going to happen. You're always going to have the losers out there that are just, you know, breeding the street dogs. Like, that's not going away. It's not going away. Yeah, that's just a futile effort. But I think that's not that common anymore. It truly isn't. And this whole, like, having to spay, neuter your dogs, like, again, like, I'm not going to get into that so much right now, but personal choice, I don't think, like, mandating that and, like, trying to demonize people that don't do that and trying to make it, you know, if you don't have that done by the time your dog's a year old, you're, like, some kind of criminal. That hasn't helped. It's like, it's an agenda. It's a money-making scheme, right? There's a lot of money in that procedure. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying all this pressure and all this demonization, like, that in and of itself is a red flag. When that stuff exists, you should question it. Right? And there's no evidence to actually indicate that it's done anything. There's just not. There's no real numbers. Any numbers you find are made up. They're not. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, neither one of my dogs are neutered, and neither one of them have impregnated any other dogs. So you're either a responsible dog owner or you're not. And spay neuter doesn't really change that. So again, I'm not saying spay and neuter is bad. I'm just saying there are some things that have become like the end-all, be-all, you know, requirement. And there's no real evidence that it's even helping anything. Right? You're just supposed to do it and you're not supposed to question it. And I don't like that. I never like that. if you haven't realized that about me, I question everything. And you know what? You should too. And you should do what's right for you. And maybe you don't want to draw your curtains. And you know what? You shouldn't fucking have to. That's it for today, guys. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to the next one. And hopefully that'll be real soon. Trying to get back on schedule here and put out at least a couple of these every week. So, yeah. Thanks for being here with me, and we'll have something good for you next time.